Well, welcome to JMC Live. I am your host, Jeremy Caverly. That was Miranda singing Enough. That was me singing So Close. Songs have been around for a while. They might bring back some memories of your youth, teenage, 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe a little bit older for those of you that were around that wrote those songs when they came out. Tonight is about After the Blessing. So what am I talking about? When I say after the blessing, we're talking about something happened. You got prayed over. You prayed yourself. Maybe it was God, you know, spoke to you or someone else did. Something happened in your life, right? And the next thing you know, you receive your reward. You receive the gift. You receive the promise. You've gotten the thing that you were trying to get, right? You got blessed. So the message tonight is about what do you do after the blessing? After you've already got what it was you were trying to do, what do you do next? Where do you go from the blessing? You know, many people say, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. I'm blessed among the best of the rest and all these different kinds of, you know, slogans and phrases that people will say about it. So let's talk about the Bible. So when I was doing a search for this, I just put in the word after because I was curious how many times in the Bible is the word after mentioned. I wasn't really focused so much on the word blessing. I wanted to focus more on the word after. And if for those that are able to see on YouTube and Facebook on screen right now, it says all 772. That is 772 different verses have the word after in it. There's 536 in the Old Testament and 236 in the New Testament. Now, I'm going to cover a few of those between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Obviously, we don't have enough time to go through all 772 messages, and that's okay. That's all right that we don't have time to go through all of them. So we're going to pick a few of these, and we're going to go from there. So the first one that I want to look at is Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start from the Old Testament all the way from Genesis and go into the New Testament, and I'm going to tie it all together. Watch this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. This is a New International Version. It says, after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and the flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So in the beginning, after the fall, after man's gone, they're placing a guard to protect. So there's different blessings that happen as you see through this, as we go through the different persons. Now, still in Genesis, after Genesis chapter 5 verse 30, Genesis chapter 5 verse 30 says, after Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. So there's an important key notation here about after. Things happen after you receive training, after you've taken a rest, after you've drank the water, after you ate, after you had your meeting, after you filled the gas tank. Right? There are things that cannot happen in the before. There are things that cannot happen in the present. They can't happen in the past. They have to happen in the future, in the after. Matthew. Let's go to the New Testament now. Okay? Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Okay? Verse 23. After he had dismissed him, we're talking about Jesus, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray, and later that night, he was alone. How many times can you look throughout the New Testament that Jesus went away after the crowds? Went away after the meeting with the disciples? With this kind of different thing. Oh, he's off somewhere else. We don't know where he is. He's somewhere out praying after what has happened. It doesn't stay in that crowd mentality. He goes to pray after what has occurred. How many times in our lives that you know, we did the preaching, we did the ministry, we did the song, we went and did the presentation, we went to the store, we went there, we had these things happen. How many times after something good happens do we pray? Do we thank God? Are we going forward and doing what God has called us to do? Many times we fail at this point because it's the afterglow, the after the moment. And now I'm going to tie it, the New Testament to the Old, by going to our favorite book, Hebrews, which is what I preached upon in my first sermon back in 1997 when I was in high school. This is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. And so after patiently waiting, or it says, so after waiting patiently, Abraham receives what he was promised. Have you ever had a promise ring or a promise decision or an IOU or some kind of thing that you were promised, a loan or whatever, a handshake deal, a verbal compensation, something written down, notarized, and there was a promise, there was a transaction occurred. You're going to buy this house, going to buy this car, going to go to school, going to do this, so on and so forth, but you had some kind of contract or something that happened that brought you to these different moments in your life, and you're kind of wondering, well, how long is this going to take? Well, it's going to take 5 years to finish this off. Okay. Or it's one of those kind of blanketed situations where you don't really know how long you're going to wait for something. You're just got somebody telling you, oh, if you just wait, you know, the cookies will be done. Oh, is there a timer? No, I just know when they're done. You know any cooks like that in your life? Maybe it's your grandma. Maybe it's your mom, your dad, your friend. A lot of cooks are that way. They've just done it for so long, they don't even need a timer. They do stuff. But if you're new to the situation, you don't know how long you're going to have to wait. Do we? No. We don't really know how long we're going to wait. What's going to happen? And then those moments, you get impatient. You just get confused, you get lost, you get struggled, you know, all these different things happen. You're all like, what are you going to do? Where are you supposed to go? I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, think about the great Abraham waiting for all the things going to happen. And in some cases, some people wait and they give up. There's illustrations of and stories talking about people digging in the dirt and one of them stops and they're really close from getting to, I don't know, a water well or, you know, jewels and diamonds and whatnot. The other person just keeps digging. He went slower, but he just kept going. He didn't quit. There's something to be said about perseverance in the middle of circumstances. And we're talking about war and armies and about, you know, battle structures and things that happen. You think about how those that aren't always running the race the fastest, but those that are running a race and they're keeping a steady pace, a consistent pace, or maybe because they're under attack, they're having to change and move around a lot and not be in a straight path because it's dangerous. But they have a plan on where they're wanting to go. And in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27, and we're going to read this all in context to get everything here. But the Lord of armies himself has planned it. Therefore, who can stand in his way? It is his hand that is outstretched. So who can turn it back? Now, let's look at this whole thing. We're going to go all the way up to verse 24 and go all the way through verse 27. I'm going to do something different here. We're going to go on the Good News translation. Now, listen to this. This is about God destroying the Syrians. It says, verse 24. It says, the Lord Almighty has sworn an oath. What I have planned will happen. What I have determined to do will be done. 25. I will destroy the Assyrians in my land of Israel and trample them on my mountains. I will free my people from the Assyrian yoke and from the burdens they have had to bear. 26. This is my plan for the world, and my arm is stretched out to punish the nations. The Lord Almighty is determined to do this. He has stretched out his arm to punish, and no one can stop him. So if we look at the whole verse, and many people want to quote 27, and there's different ways to talk about this. How many times have you been outnumbered? You know, somebody knows that you have a blessing, that you have some kind of plan for your life, and they know about that one little moment that's supposed to happen in your life. And what they end up doing is they come in such a way and say, okay, you got this great gift, but then we're going to, you know, take it away from you, or we're going to stop what's happening, or we're going to move some kind of other place and do some kind of other thing to hinder you from receiving the full blessing. Let's look at verse 27 a different way. All the forces of darkness cannot stop what God has ordained. Let me say this again. All the forces of darkness cannot stop what God has already ordained. Now we got to break this down into different contextual moments to explain about after the blessing, before the blessing, during the blessing, after the blessing. Obviously, we know that what God wants to do, if all the forces of darkness cannot stop what God ordains, that means he must have a plan, a playbook. He must have a syllabus, a knowledge, book of knowledge. He must have, you know, this all orchestrated. And I'm not going to get into the argument over predestination, no destination, all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God having a plan on your life and not allowing people to stop it, not allowing the devil to stop it, not allowing the demons to stop it, and not allowing you and your stupidity and your incapability and your uneducation or your too much education, or if you are a Christian or not a Christian, because God had a blessing in your life before you even got saved, and his name was Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is pursuing you every single day for the rest of your life till the moment you die. So let's look at this in another context, shall we? After the blessing, you should want to be what? A blessing to others. Blessing carries into the rest of your life. So if God has a blessing on your life, it doesn't just stop when you get the job promotion. It doesn't just stop when you get the car. It doesn't stop when you pass the test. It doesn't stop when the bad person stops bothering you anymore. See, we in our human minds and our capability, we want to put everything into a concrete, contextual little book, into a little plan, and, you know, draw it out, draft it out, architect it out, and say, from this moment, at point A, it goes to point B, that is it. 2 + 2 = 4. But in God's mind and in God's capability, the blessing is carried on through the rest of your life, and the blessing started before you even were born. And when you turn on the supernatural mindset, the supernatural hearing, and the supernatural seeing, and the supernatural knowledge of what God wants to do in your life, you let the Holy Spirit work through you, the blessing would make better sense to you. Those in the world that are not Christians will not understand what I am talking about, because it makes absolutely no human logical sense. It's nonsense to them. What I'm saying is crazy. I've already been discounted and discredited to say what I'm about to say. God puts equations of your falls and failures into your blessing. God puts the blessing before you were born and takes each blessing through your whole life. It's not just that one little moment. But we in our human body capability, we can only see when we're in our flesh, we only see the surface of what is happening, of where God is trying to operate in our lives. And there's so many different blessings and so many different things that happen in our lives. Many times we miss the mark to see exactly what God is doing, because there's always a bigger picture than what we think. So again, after the blessing, What are you going to do? Well, someone said, well, Jeremy, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, I got the job, or the person left me alone, or I got the raise, or I moved, or, you know, I got rest. What do you want me to do? I just want to live my life, man. What are you trying to say, man? What's going on? I want you to understand about how important God pursues us before the blessing, during the blessing, and after the blessing. Because when God is in the midst of what He wants to do in your life, where He wants to take you, nothing that you do is going to stop it. Nothing anyone else is going to do is going to stop it. It might slow some things down, maybe, in the human realm, but in the spiritual realm, no, it hasn't stopped. You're still learning. You're getting strategic things put into place. God is setting everything up for you. He's leading you to where He wants you to be so that you can be that man and woman of God that He wants you to be, so that you can stand up and move forward into that place that God wants in your life. Because there is nothing in this world that's going to hold you back if you have God in the middle of it. If you have God in the middle of everything that you're doing and where you are going, nothing is going to stop His plan for your life. Because He cares about you. He wants to have that relationship with you. And when you're really excited about Jesus and you get a blessing from God, I'm telling you, you can't shut up. And I know some of you are introverts and you don't like to do public speaking, but you would write it on the social media post or tell your close two friends or one friend or somebody else would know. Unless you're selfish or you're not saved. Many people that are saved become selfish during the blessing. I got what I wanted. I'm excited. You know, I'm going to toot my horn about that and be excited about that. And they miss out on how to be a blessing to others in the midst of what God has done in their lives. There's jealousy in the church. It's unfortunate, but it does happen. But I tell you today, if we go forward in the afterglow of the blessings in our lives and what God wants to do, where He wants to lead us next, as we talked about before, you will completely walk into that. No force of darkness will stop what God is doing. You will move into that. And when you move into that, what happens again? You will want to bless other people. You will understand how the blessing carries throughout all your whole life. And you'll understand that God looked into all the different things that happened in your life. All the decisions that you made. Well, He wanted you to make better decisions. Yes, yes. Get saved sooner. You know, do and get involved with more ministry. Or stop, you know, some kind of habitual sin or whatever it is that's in your life. But God put into His equation your flaws and your failures. That's why He brought Jesus Christ. So that in this world, you can live in this world and not be of this world, and you can operate and be what Christ has called you to be. Now, I'm going to finish this tonight with praying for you. I'm going to pray for the blessings that are in your life. And I'm going to pray for what you do after the moments that you might have written it down on paper or text somebody or emailed somebody, maybe have had a conversation, or maybe someone's just seen it. And you'll be able to move to those places. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we come before You this evening. We pray for the blessings of the people all around the world today. And all the simple ways they are blessed, the common ways they are blessed, the rare things that happen, the supernatural things that happen, that they will want to understand and want to have a communication with the Holy Spirit, communication with You, Lord Jesus, to understand the blessings in their lives, how stuff's happened before they were born. Stuff's happened while they were born. And how this stuff is carried through and connects to one another and what you're wanting to do. And give them a heart and a fervor for the Lord and a heart to be able to do what you've called them to do, God. We just thank you, God, that you bring into these different places in our lives, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, that we can be a blessing. We can understand walking in the after moment, in the afterglow, that we can not only just tell people, here's what God did for me, but you change it to where, well, I want to find a way to be a blessing to someone else. I want someone else to learn about Jesus. I want someone else to be stronger and be capable and moving forward and doing the different things that you call them to do so that we can be the hands and feet you want us to be. That we can walk in these moments. That we can understand that sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes things happen later. Sometimes we might need to go up and pray alone. But we have to remember that as things continue to get darker, that what God has planned in our lives means that nothing's going to stop what God wants to do. And when we understand we are walking in what God is doing, we can be a blessing to others. We can carry this throughout the rest of our life, and it will be like a virus wildfire moving into the lives of the people that we meet. They'll understand there's something different about us. They'll understand that Jesus is in our life and want to be able to go forward and do what you call us to do. By the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want to thank you guys for coming tonight because I understand your time is valuable. I understand there's different things you could be doing. And I appreciate each and every one of you that tune in to watch the broadcast live or you listen to the podcast, you watch it later. God bless you. Thank you so much. And may the Lord carry you after the blessing.